This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervy.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I say that somewhat sarcastically because I am sitting here with two women and there is no way in heck that I can manage your life when these two women are here. They will be managing your life. So listen up. First of all, I'm very happy to welcome back as my co-host this week, Jillian Barbary. Woo! I haven't finished introducing you.
Sorry.
But she was cheering for herself.
Yes.
She is, of course, well known as a television host, sportscaster, radio personality, actress, co-host of Good Day LA
for
so many years.
Incredible.
And involved with the Fox Sports team.
That's right.
And
don't forget the year of porn.
The year of porn.
Well, it was actually in the comedy section now.
Never forget.
In the comedy. The House Husbands of Hollywood.
Okay.
You know.
Well, you got to bring that up.
We got to bring that up because we're going to be talking a little bit about some matchmaking and house husbands.
Thank God we have an expert here because I know nothing about husbands. I've had two and I'll never have one again. I don't understand it.
You had some hot husbands, though.
I did, but the House Husbands of Hollywood you're referring to, my ex, the second, I call him number two.
Yeah.
It's number
Reynolds.
One.
Reynolds Wrap.
That's exactly what he did. Wrap me too tightly. But the first one we call, he's the baseball player. We call
Brett Barbary.
You know, baseball player.
The ball player and the sniper. And
by the way,
I like men in uniform, apparently. Yes,
Jillian, next week we're having on the show Ron Say, you know, a legend with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And
I know Ron.
Yeah, I know you do. And we're going to talk to him. So he knows Brett Barbary. He may be telling us some stories about
you road?
And Brett Barbary.
Uh-huh. I want to hear the ones on the road. Although he was a Christian ball player, so he was like one of the good boys. Well, at least that's what I thought. I think. I don't know.
Really?
But I'm so excited that our guest is here. Because you're so right about relationships and how they can go astray. I've had two husbands. I don't know what I'm doing. You've been in the same marriage for how long?
Not that long.
Really?
Not that long.
Okay, so you're still married.
Do we want to introduce who this special guest is?
67.
Yeah.
Oh, you have no idea. When we introduce you, you won't believe
the
it.
The fanfare. We've got a whole band
They are coming in with
Look
a fanfare.
Out.
But before we do introduce...
And I'll be cheering for everything. Don't
before
worry.
Before we do introduce our special guest, I did want to ask you, because we were talking about... you haven't been here since the election, and John Phillips, of course.
Yes.
You had the show with him for so many years.
Oh, it was... Yes, for 6 years.
6 years. Right here.
6 years.
790 KABC.
I'm a liberal and he's a conservative.
Yes.
And so, you know, I thought it would be like a real balance, but it was hard because a lot of the guests were super right, you know, and
super right as in being correct.
No, but super far right as far as, you know,
that's a little different.
Yeah, politically. And so I always was getting in fights and you would think that's great for talk radio, but it's not good for my, it wasn't good for my soul, but I love it here. I love, first of all, Drew Hayes is like the greatest man. He was my boss. But yeah, you know, he said to me, he gave me the greatest advice because I would get so fired up about Trump because I worked for Trump and I know Trump. I know him personally. I sat with him at Howard Stern's wedding for 5 hours.
I did.
And
you
I
sat with him.
He was at my table with Joan Rivers. Yeah, it was crazy.
My goodness.
And Robin Quivers. So long story short, I worked for him at two beauty pageants. And so I would say to John, no, he's crooked. Everybody in New York hates him. He's not a good man. And, da, da, da. And so I was happy about this election.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe you said that to John, because I would think that John would be offended by that.
By what?
Talking about Trump that way.
Oh, no. In the commercial breaks, I would let loose. Drew Hayes gave me the best advice. He goes, you know, have you ever seen the show Veep? And I'm like, no. And then I got cancer and I was doing chemo and I started to do back-to-back-to-back Veeps. And I got what he meant. It's like, I don't have to argue everybody. Everybody has an opinion and you're allowed to like Trump. You're allowed to. Who cares? Like, it's not the end of the world. I just didn't like what he was doing. Okay.
I think we call that free speech. This is a legal show, folks. It is a legal show, and we just finally got to our legal premise.
Yes.
Which is the First Amendment.
Yes.
And free speech.
Yes.
You can say what you want.
Well, not every word.
Except if it's on Facebook or Twitter
yeah.
or any other
don't
social
say that to our,
media platform.
Don't say that to our guest, because she's got a trucker mouth like I do. So we have to
she is
tone
a lawyer,
it down.
We are bringing the law into this show, and I finally get an opportunity
to talk to somebody smart.
Candace Smith. She is a lawyer, so she has a right to be on the show, as does Jillian, because she's Canadian. There's always a reason for someone to be on the show. Candace is also an actress, a producer, a life coach, a model.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
An you
got
author.
Everything.
So much.
And a love expert.
Oh, do I need her
Thank
in my life.
Thank you so much. Jillian, you are just so fabulous. You know, you really are.
Oh, I haven't finished your introduction
yet. Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Alan.
You'll have plenty of time to talk.
She's got quite a resume.
Let's talk. She was featured as Patty Stanger's right-hand matchmaker on The Millionaire Matchmaker on Bravo, and she was on WeTV, The Million Dollar Matchmaker as well. And she has been a successful matchmaker for many, many
years. Wow.
And of course,
it's amazing.
I have to mention this, Jillian.
Yeah.
The Wrong Missy.
Oh my God. It's like my.
Your favorite movie on Netflix.
Okay, I'm not dropping a name, but I talked to Heather Locklear. We're very good friends for 25 years, and she used to date David Spade.
How cool.
Isn't that great? And I go, oh yeah, like we were talking about our favorite movies, because she worked with him, and she's like, yeah, he's so funny. I'm like, he's like one of the funniest people off camera.
Yes.
Right? So
funny.
Sometimes you meet like the comedians, and like I met Mike Myers, and he's very serious. Canadian.
Right.
Very serious. David is the opposite, but anyway, The Wrong Missy, when I read that you were in The Wrong Missy, I was like, oh my God. So I was talking to Heather. I go, I'm just going to say, I'm going to meet someone who was in The Wrong Missy. She's like, shut up. Heather Locklear.
Oh,
she's
my
like
gosh.
All excited. Yeah.
I'm so honored. And I'm such a big fan of you, Jillian.
Yeah.
And I just love your energy. And it's so rare
Sweet.
To find women in Hollywood that just embrace
yeah.
other women.
I'm
you know what I mean? And it's
yes.
like you can feel that immediately.
Thank
and
you.
I just want to say, I love you and I respect you. And
thank
Alan, you are such a great legal mind.
Oh, thank you. You have no idea. But let's talk about love.
Love. I love love.
You know, what I really enjoyed is when I was listening to the Love by Candace, the podcast.
Oh, wow.
And you really balance life and love.
Mm.
And that takes a lot to be able to focus on both and be rational, because it's such an emotional topic, especially now when we're dealing with a pandemic
yes.
where people can't be who they really want to be.
Right.
So how do you come about this when you can put together life, which can be really, really tough, as
yes.
we're all experiencing now, and love, one of the basic needs that we all, I think, want
right.
and love. And
Great
need.
Question, Alan. With everything that's happening around the world, I feel that more than ever, my philosophy, the Love by Candace philosophy, has always been to nurture your mental, physical, and spiritual, so you can be your best self, no matter what. Like, let's start at the foundation of who you are, self-love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been the guinea pig of Love by Candace, and this past year hasn't been easy for me. I just lost my mother to COVID a couple weeks ago.
Oh, gosh.
And
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Candace.
Thank you.
And
I'm
thanks for being here.
Oh,
I mean,
my
that's,
gosh,
yeah.
sweetheart.
And
we're here to
yep.
be with you.
I appreciate it. And honestly, you know, what's gotten me through is my whole approach to life, what it always has been.
Yeah.
And that is waking up every day, staying in the present, being my best self,
staying
mentally, physically, and spiritually, and doing the work. And doing the work isn't glamorous. You don't
it's
get the pats
fun.
On the back.
Nope.
This year wasn't easy for me. Moving back from Hawaii, focusing on my career, the pandemic hitting, no friends, no family.
Oh, dear.
And then, you know, a few family members testing positive, and then losing my mother.
Unbelievable. Jeez.
And so, Alan, your question about balancing life and love.
Oh, how did you do it?
You know, doing the work. I practice what I preach. Thank you so much for mentioning my podcast, Love by Candace, because that's always been a passion project for me. It's on Stitcher and on iTunes, where I share from an authentic and vulnerable place. You know, I haven't had the easiest life.
Yeah.
And so my approach to life is what has gotten me through. When it comes to love, you know, I'm still so excited about love.
You are.
I really am.
Is it because of, see, I'm so, what's the word? I'm not jaded, but I'm just like over it. So, and I have two kids and I've been single for 7 years and I refuse to bring a man to my home because I want my kids to feel it's their safe spot. And mm-hmm. so you're young. And I always say, you know, do you think in those years ahead, you'll have, like if I'm divorced twice and I'm amazed at people who can make it work. And I'm too much of a giver. I give everything to my kids, the husbands. They didn't have to work. I took care of them financially.
Right.
I had to pay alimony to the first one. Like, I'm so drained and depleted. Then I got cancer and my family's in another country.
Yeah.
I'm so exhausted. Candace, I'm like, the last thing on my mind is a date.
Candace, Jillian, I just have to tell you.
Yeah.
Later in the show, Ryan Howes, he's going to be joining us. He's a psychologist. So it may be something a little bit of therapy.
Yes. Show see, might be for me today.
All of us.
Jillian, this is what I think. I think that you've just been limiting yourself. A lot of people do based on our domestications and what you were trained to believe. You know, like life is never over. There's so many amazing people out here. And I mean, you know, we can talk about dating apps later. You mentioned them before we started recording. Hey, I'm on one right now.
You are.
Yeah, I am for the first time in my life.
I went on one and then I went off one. I was on Tinder for 9 hours and five of them I fought with people saying, no, it is really me. And they're like, why would you be on a dating app? I'm like, because I can't get a friggin' date.
But you're on Raya, right?
Well, no, this was on Tinder. And so I said, forget it. I'm out. Peace out. And then somebody said, why are you on Tinder? You got to go on Raya. And I said, what's that? Oh, you pay $8 a month. And I'm like, $8 a month for what? And then I went on. I was like, ooh. So there's a lot of like people in the business.
It's my morning entertainment.
I bet it is. So you go on and you'll see producers, directors, and actors, and athletes, and ballers, and rappers, and singers, and just everybody that's in the business. So you think, well, maybe they get it. And they don't show you the other women. So, and it comes up your age. You cannot lie about a thing.
You know really what pissed me off about that? I'm like, if I got to show my age, I want to see their height, dude. I went out with a guy who couldn't get on a roller coaster with me. And I'm like, listen, the angles of your photo, like, dude, this is misleading. Hey,
you had an Apple box. Damn it. I knew you were standing on something. That is insane. How tall are you? 5'7", 8"?
Know what? I photographed tall. I'm really like 5'6".
You know what it is? Because you're teeny. You don't have hips. Like, you're teeny tiny.
I do have hips, Julie.
I saw that. I was like, look at the body on that chick.
Okay.
And then she comes over and she's on the show. She was across the street and I could hear her talking.
Wait a second. Is it okay for you to say that? I'm not going to say that. Look at the body on that chick.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not going to say that.
I'm so flattered.
Not.
Yeah.
I'm glad Jillian's here to say that because I will not.
Oh,
me too.
I feel bad
hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
I feel bad for men. You know, you used to get compliments and now men are afraid. They don't even know.
I would never compliment either of you.
You know what? When I was on the NFL and Terry Bradshaw used to say,
I want a compliment.
Yeah.
There. See?
Yeah.
Wait, can we tape that line? Oh, we're taping it? Candace Smith wants a compliment.
Do you know,
I do.
And I can say that sitting here with Jillian and Candace, it's easy to compliment both of you.
You're so sweet.
But the one thing I have to tell you is you have to keep quiet for 1 second because I have to take a break. I'd love to hear more. And you all are going to hear more from Candace Smith and Jillian Barbary right here on Gervie's Law and Talk Radio 790 KABC. Not standing close to anyone here. I kind of miss that, to be quite honest. We're talking to Candace Smith, who is an expert in matchmaking, in love. She's a lawyer, an actress, producer,
amazing.
Does a lot of things. Like a Renaissance woman here.
Yeah.
Jillian Barbary is with me here. And Candace, I got to ask you.
You are, though. You're like, what?
I know. I'm just so honored. Please continue, Alan.
I just don't know how you squeeze all of that in a resume and like you're beautiful. And people would look at you and go, how do you have a problem getting a date? Right. But people assume, and they're always wrong. Sometimes it's the woman who does look like you who can't get the date because the men are intimidated.
I almost forgot what I was going to ask her, Jillian.
Oh,
it's really important.
I am
very important.
I'm gonna get back to that, Jillian.
Thank you.
Yeah, you get back to it. So, here's the issue here, and I'm getting a little bit depressed.
Okay.
I feel like we need love.
We do.
We need to touch people.
We need
to hold on to people, to whisper in someone's ear.
Yes. Intimacy.
Intimacy. That's what it
Connection.
Is. Connection.
We do all need that. And I'm single by choice. And back to what we were discussing earlier, just succeeding in life and love, being willing to make the sacrifices, to do the work, to be good on your own, to love yourself, to feel as though you do deserve good love.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I think about my past relationships and what I was willing to accept, a lot of that came from a lack of authentic self-love, me not believing that I deserve something. Love is
right.
hope, you know, and
it
love is everywhere. And today, more than ever, we have to be open.
But so is COVID.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And that,
that scares me. When
yeah.
I mean, I'm here with two wonderful single women, and I'm thinking, why can't everyone get out there and form relationships and everything? And I understand why, but how do you deal with it? How, there are so many people listening right now that really want to let loose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the personalities that you two do. And it can be very hard and very lonely.
Right.
Yeah. I'm very lonely. I will say, I talked to a shrink recently. She goes, what do you want out of life? And I was like, oh, she stumped me. And I thought about it for a week. And the next time I talked to her, I said, you know what I want? I want to be appreciated and loved. And then that made me very sad because I've tried that twice and it didn't work. So that's where my resistance to love comes in.
Right. But you even acknowledging that you want it
yes.
is the first step.
Yeah.
You know, and we really do have to feel good on our own to be good partners in relationships. I always say, be who you want. You know, we're so willing to sit down and come across, you know, this checklist of what our partner must have where and we're lacking in our own self development
so
and our own personal growth.
Candace, that seems to be a theme that comes across very strongly. And I happen to agree with you that people don't work enough on themselves.
Right.
They expect that their relationship is going to be everything to them. Mm-hmm. And when we are in these circumstances, when it's not so easy to have the relationship, sometimes you have to think about yourself and say, no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You've really got to develop who you are and be happy with who you are. And that's what you talk about.
And see, and right now with the pandemic, what you're finding is a lot of people looking to relationships as crutches, right? You see people cohabitating and connecting with people just because they're feeling lonely and they're on their own and they're having a difficult time. You know, I will say that being single and doing the work that nobody sees and preparing yourself for that partner is truly essential. And
talk a little bit about that work, because I haven't done any, I don't think.
And I don't think it's just about being single, because I think you have to bring in married people or people in relationships too, because this pandemic has been hard on everyone, especially people in relationships. You know, you sit there and you think, oh, wow, I wish I had someone. But there are a lot of people who have someone who are wishing
they didn't.
Right.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people are becoming complacent. And I think that what's happened, I mean, in today's dating age, everything is superficial already, right? Before the pandemic hit, everybody was only focused on, you know, the
swiping
aesthetic, swiping. Everyone had attention deficit disorder. It's like on to the next one, you know.
So this is maybe it slowed us down for a reason.
It has slowed us down. And I really do feel like there's a positive in what's happened around the world. People are reprioritizing their life and their love.
Very true.
And they're realizing at the end of the day what's really important.
Yes.
Versus in the past when everyone was so focused on, you know, dating someone of the same socioeconomic class or educational background. Now people are a little bit more open, and I think people are a little bit more honest and wanting to go deeper. Now you're seeing the dating apps where they don't show your photo or show the video, like S'more. And it's all about going
who you are.
Exactly.
As opposed to what you look like. That's a great idea.
But do you think that perhaps a lot of people are also lowering their expectations because they don't have the opportunity, for instance, to go into a bar and check out everyone and pick someone out or go out with whoever they want? And their expectations are, you know what, if I can just get someone to be with because I'm lonely, maybe that'll be good enough. And I'm not saying that it isn't good enough. Maybe that should really be the focus. Someone should look at someone and say, why do you have those expectations? Why do we have this checklist when you can just find someone who you can connect with on some level and that's enough?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, I feel like people have been complacent for quite some time when it comes to their love life. And I think think you're right, Alan, right now with what's happening and just, you know, the lack of social interaction and, you know, authentic connection with people.
For sure.
Because we can't be in the bars. You can't be out in the restaurants. Socializing has led to people just settling, choosing someone on a dating app, hanging out with that person and kind of quarantine cohabitating.
I have two kids, so I always feel like I'm fulfilled. But you mentioned this list that we have of people, and I always joke with my girl, that my girlfriends joke with me, that I'm the United Nations of dating, which means I don't have a type. I don't care if they have a job. Like, that's, I'll take care
but
of you.
But that got you in trouble before.
Twice. And so you're so right. And so they're like, first of all, get a type, get a better picker, you know, picker, like you pick that guy, you pick that. She goes, get a guy with a job. That's a good start that you don't have to take care of financially. And then you're not as exhausted at the end of the day. So I have to start on that.
Right. And how good do you feel on your own right now? You know what I mean? Like, when you wake up, are you excited? Are you happy about the day? Are you ready?
Well, I'm on antidepressants.
Are you asking truth?
Yeah, I'm on antidepressants.
Are you asking truthfully or?
No, I know after cancer, during cancer, I had no problem. I went through it by myself. I worked here every day, took care of my two kids. Like, a rock star, got my boobs chopped off, my hair fell out.
Yeah.
Waving, you were here for all that. I was here. It was no big deal. But after my cancer went away, then I got depressed.
Right.
And I don't know why it was. My family's in another country or whatever.
Right.
But I used to, you know, the Millionaire Matchmaker show, when that first exploded, I was watching it. And I know Patty.
Mm-hmm.
And her and I have had some off-air conversations about life and love. Because just because you see somebody on TV, you'd think, oh, their life's perfect. No, they go through their own struggles and their own. And so my question to you, and I've never watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette because I kind of think, well, is it possible to find love that way on television? Have those people stayed together and...
Yes.
Wow.
It most definitely.
Really?
I mean, I really feel that you can find love anywhere. I mean, there's been couples that matched on our show that are still together.
Amazing.
You know, one of the first couples I ever matched back in Chicago, like 20 years ago, they are married with two sons back in Chicago.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I agree
That's
with that,
amazing.
What you're saying, Candace, because, you know, my mom always said to me, you know, I was single for a long time, and she said, just make a life for yourself. You know, don't let life pass you by. Just make a life. And when you meet someone, regardless of where it is, maybe it's a forced meeting on a television show, but you can make love. You can fall in love. You can appreciate what you see in the other person and them in you.
But
let me ask you this, Alan. If you're, which I agree with your mom, if you're living your life, you got your career and you're living your best life, when that person comes in, do you have to alter to make, like, shouldn't they just fall in and it
Well, if you have to alter, then that's not making a life.
What
that's,
about if it's
I mean, you have to compromise when you meet someone, right?
What about if it's
I can only imagine not compromising
like,
in a relationship.
Fit in this
Well, I've had that because
it doesn't last long.
It's 7 years for me, but when you marry a narcissist, they're very charming at first and they're everything that you think that you want.
Right.
And the minute that they get you, if it's marriage or whatever, the real person comes out and it can be in control.
Right.
It could be all kinds of things.
And let me ask you this, Jillian. Did your intuition tell you early on that this is not a good situation for me and I'm uncomfortable?
No. My friends saw it. They
saw it, but you didn't.
When I announced my divorce, they came out of the woodwork with stories. And
you're like, why didn't you tell me this before?
And they said, I did. And they said, because you wouldn't have listened.
You wouldn't have listened.
But I got,
you had blinders on.
Blinders. And I had great kids. He's great looking. We have beautiful children. I had a baby at 40 and at 42 without any help, you know, fertility drugs. So I must have felt some pheromone or like animal connection. But now I hate him. No kidding.
But the sex was good.
It was great.
It was great.
Yeah.
How great.
I mean, it's like, this is the
It was I can't remember, actually.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Long.
We got to take
we'll
a break. We're going to talk on the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about everyone's sex life here except mine. And we'll talk a little bit about Patty Stanger too, because, you know, the matchmaker, Millionaire Matchmaker, is that for real, Candace?
So real.
Okay, that's the
crazy
cliffhanger.
Real.
Cliffhanger. So real. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
But I just can't get no relief, Lord. Somebody, somebody, somebody. somebody, somebody, can anybody find me?
Somebody to love.
Yes, we are doing the Love Hour right here on Gervie's Law. I am Alan Gervie, lawyer extraordinaire.
And you are loved.
I am not in love. Wait, what was the question?
You are loved.
You are loved. We are all loved.
Everyone's loved. What a stupid,
love is everywhere.
Jillian, that was a really dumb question.
It wasn't a question. It was a statement. I can tell that you are loved because you're a happy man.
Everyone is loved in one way or another.
Okay. I know kids love me.
And it's so important that we spread love now more than ever. I know you guys look at me like I'm so cheesy, but I get it. I really do love love.
This is like hippie hour.
But I mean, you know, there's so much division in our country.
But I got to tell you something, Candace, you're not going to be able to fix it.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I
think you can fix your own little world, right?
Yes.
Like around her.
And I appreciate it because that's what Candace Smith does. She has such a positive perspective.
Yes.
And everything I said, when we left after the last segment, the break, when we were going to the break, I asked her about Millionaire Matchmaker. And you said, yes, on your face, you were just so happy to say that it's real.
Yeah.
That this is not fake and that Patty Stanger is real.
Yes.
Because that's who you are.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people who aren't like that, that would be very skeptical and cynical.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you say to those people?
I would say that you're not appreciating the present. You know, like tomorrow isn't promised for anyone. And to be skeptical, to be negative, to be closed off is not living a fulfilling life. You know, it's like being positive and being open to love and believing in love, even as a single person, just makes life better. You know, and
yes,
so many people want love and being ready for love. You know, my advice to single people, it's like you really are what you attract. I believe in energy. I believe in the universe. And I do not believe you can walk through this world with this chip on your shoulder and being jaded and being bitter and receive any amazing love.
You're 100% right.
From the universe.
I went to therapy for the first 4 years after my divorce thinking, what did I do wrong? I was a great host. I lost that job. I was a great wife. I provided. I had two babies, got back to skinny shape, made a commercial for that, provided, you know, money financially. I took care of everybody. And so I found myself very jaded and sad. And
that's blocking you.
That's blocking.
And the reality, yes, you must be open to love.
I know. I just don't know how to get back there.
You have to heal and you have to do the work. You know?
Now, I want to mention, he moved on and got married to a 30-year-old and just had a baby, of course, because he was open to love after our relationship. Because the life I gave him, you could do nothing for 7 years. Work on the motorcycle I bought you from Jesse James for a wedding gift when he didn't give me anything. That's another story. I thought I didn't deserve it because I kind of, you know, I'm adopted and I was, my whole life is
right.
Just crazy.
So you had a lot of past emotional wounds that most likely needed to be healed.
Candace, did you?
Yes.
With your father?
Yes. My father passed when I was 11. I grew up in the inner city of Dayton. I'm the first in my family to graduate from college.
And law. You got a law degree.
And law degree.
I received a scholarship. I went to Northwestern Law School. I moved back to Ohio. I passed the bar.
You did.
And
okay.
I practiced, at the largest law firm back there doing commercial real estate. And I just felt so suffocated. You know, I wanted to connect with others. I've always loved helping others and performing. That's always been something that was
close
to my heart.
Yeah.
And so I'm essentially living my dream now.
I was going to ask, how did you get the gig with Patty Stanger on Millionaire? Yeah.
They asked me to interview.
Who did?
The producer.
To
interview for the job, to work with Patty and to do the show.
Oh, wow.
So it's
well, how did they find you?
Yeah.
At the time, I was actually working in production in reality TV. So I have a producer credit. So with the WE TV show Match Made in Heaven, I actually did casting. I did the segment producing. So I was working behind the camera in reality TV. So I've worked in theatrical, non-scripted.
Yeah.
And and I was also still, I have a psychology degree. So I started life coaching right after college.
Shut up. up.
And it was just natural that I just... you guys, listen. It was just natural that I started matching people. Like, okay. When people say, oh my gosh, you're a matchmaker. It's like, listen, I have an extensive database, okay? I've got a lot of great guys in law school from University of Dayton. You know, I happen to know a lot of people. I know a lot of amazing women. So it just made sense that I started connecting people. And Patty was looking for a new director of recruiting. And at the same time, starting to film her last season on Bravo's Millionaire Matchmaker. And they said, come in and interview. You know, I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
Wow. In what respect?
It was a ride. I mean, you know, Patty is a true character. Yeah. I learned a lot from Patty. Yeah. And it, you know.
And Jillian, you know Patty.
I do know Patty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is a character. And yeah. I love her strength. She's a very strong
woman.
Well,
you have to be strong, you know, to work in this industry. Yeah. And I've actually been in the midst of developing my own love show that got put on hold because of the pandemic.
Pandemic.
But I want to just give a quick, can I give a quick tip?
I do want to hear a tip, but I want to hear about your love show. Just really quickly, in 30 seconds, tell us about your love show. Not your love life, your love show.
Yeah, yeah. I've been developing this show since last year. It's an authentic and vulnerable take on... It's another love matchmaker show, but something a little bit more relatable and aspirational.
Oh, I like that.
Can it not be done with the pandemic? Like, is it going to be on hold for a while?
Well, you know, I'm super optimistic about it, and I feel like
it will eventually happen. Alan, it's funny you mentioned The House Husbands of Hollywood, because it was a show that there was five couples, and...
That was a good show.
Oh my God, we were the only ones who fought. And I went on Howard Stern, he's like, the show sucks except for you and your husband, because all you do is fight. And he's like, I predict a divorce in the next 5 years. And I was like pregnant with my son when I was on there, but you couldn't tell. I just had porn star boobs and I still had a small waist. And so they're like, I predict divorce. And I said, y'all are nuts. And in the back of my mind, you know, I got off air and the ex called me yelling and screaming at me right away because he didn't like a story I told about us having a lovemaking night, because he's a sniper. There was a gun involved. You can go from there.
Was that about the lovemaking?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not kidding. And this happened. And I got in trouble.
I've never been called a sniper.
No, he was a Marine sniper. Anyway, I was honest about the show, about the lovemaking session on the show. He called me up screaming. My television station called me up screaming. Now the women, the organization for women, they went crazy on me. I was like, F all y'all, if I can say that. Like, this, it's my, I chose to do this. Anywho, my point is,
Okay, I have not forgotten Candace.
Thank you.
Can I have a drum roll, please?
Yes.
This is Candace Smith's love tip of the day, right here on Gervie's Law.
This is my love tip. You know, I've really noticed that a lot of single people have this anxiety because everyone wants to be in a relationship. And so the dating situation scenario has become very formal. It's almost like a business arrangement. Even I've noticed it with my clients and with myself, like meeting new people. You know, like the childlike energy and fun that you used to have when you would date someone is kind of gone.
Yes.
This is my tip to all the single people out there. Be more authentic and true to yourself, because I have a rubber band theory. You know, you can only pretend to be what you think that person wants for so long, right?
Yes.
And you've experienced that, Jillian, on the other side. I'm sure that your ex pretended to be the man that he thought you wanted.
Yes.
I could see that for, you know, an extended period of time. And then slowly we go back to our original self. So why not be yourself in the beginning? Because you're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, I think people are inherently insecure about that. They do not want to show who they are or talk about who they are.
Right.
And that's
and
why
I'm here
they
to
put
say,
on Sartre called it mauvaise foi, which is bad faith, where you put on a mask.
See, I'm the opposite.
So that you don't show who you really
are. I got on a date and I just verbal diarrhea.
Well, we guessed that, Jillian.
I'm like, oh yeah. So I was... It's like, yeah, then this happened, and then, you know.
That was good.
You're like, I like to put my worst foot forward. It's like, it only gets better from here.
And if they love me for it, great.
Let me tell you something. I've had two dates in 7 years, and the first one, first of all, he was a lot younger and he was like obsessed with me on Good Day LA. So I was like, nah, whatever. I'll go out. He's cute. Whatever. He was a gazillionaire. He had a big clothing line and he became extremely wealthy. But I couldn't get over the fact of the, I was like, both my ex-husbands were younger than me, but this guy was like way young. And so I didn't take it seriously. And I was like, yeah, then I married this complete narcissist and blah, blah, blah. And I swear to God, he didn't say a word for 2 hours. I went on and on about the narcissist and he's like, all right, well, we'll get the check.
Yeah, that's not sexy.
No.
At all.
But I had to vent. And yeah. I didn't want to go.
That's not the time. You need a dating coach, a life coach.
I need
everything.
But this is what... Go ahead.
So I'm wrapping my tip
really,
up.
Really hot in here.
I know. Listen, this is... I just want to say this, Alan. I want everyone to know out there, everyone has a mask on. And with COVID, it's time everyone take the mask off. None of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this, revealing your flaws, being vulnerable is sexy. You know, when people can relate to you and really see who you are. And, you know, I believe that there's a shift happening in the dating world.
I don't know that Sartre ever thought that Candace Smith would say, take your mask off, thinking about the pandemic, but
during
also
pandemic.
Metaphorically yeah. talking about who you are inside and what's really important.
Yes.
What great advice. What a great tip right here on Gervie's Law. Stay tuned. We will be back after this.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Stay away from me, and I'll stay away from you. Stay away from me, and I'll stay away from you.
Oh, you said that to me earlier. You were saying this, because I thought you were actually saying stay away from me. And
no,
I was like,
this is a serious song.
It is.
We have been... having a lot of fun this afternoon with Jillian Barber and Candace Smith. We need to get some expertise in here. Not to say that you guys aren't experts.
Oh, I'm not.
You are.
She's got every degree there is over there.
I know everything.
Did you hear what she said before the break? She goes, you should hire me to the lot. She could work in law. She's a psychologist.
I will.
We're going to have a late night sex show.
Yes, for sure. Well,
ooh,
that sounded really dirty.
I say that very calmly. I'm in. So, Dr. Ryan Howes, he's a clinical psychologist. He's the author of Mental Health Journal for Men, Creative Thoughts, Practices, and Exercises to Bolster Wellness. It just came out in August. He is co-founder of the Mental Health Boot Camp. Oh. He writes for Psychotherapy Magazine and is a contributor to Psychology Today. Can you stop going,
I'm thinking, do I have to be a man to sign up for all this?
Absolutely not. He has expertise in so many areas. The book has gotten great reviews. Ryan Howes has created a journaling experience that will help skeptical men become more curious about their thoughts, feelings, and behaviors without feeling judged or threatened. Something that Candace Smith was talking about as appropriate for everyone to not feel judged or threatened. Mm-hmm. Ryan Howes, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Alan, Jillian, and Candace, nice to be here.
Wow, it's great to have you. You know, Ryan, I've got to ask you out of the gate here, how are we all dealing with this stuff during the pandemic? Friendships, office relationships, love relationships. How can we handle it without going crazy? Because I, for one, am going crazy, and the two women here can see that.
Well, Alan, that's a good question. I think we're recognizing there's a deep divide in this country. There's two groups that are really opposed to one another, and those are introverts and extroverts.
I like that.
And when it comes to a lot of the a lot of the social time, and interestingly enough, I found in my practice that a lot of people who thought they were introverts before this realized, oh my gosh, I need time with people. I'm actually an extrovert, and vice versa. People who really thought that they really loved being around people. They're at home now, and they're like, gosh, this is kind of nice.
I'm a homebody.
Go out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people feel so much social pressure, don't you think? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the challenge, the line gets drawn here when people want to have like Zoom meetings or Zoom, calls, social calls, these sorts of things. And some people are like, I just don't have it in me. I don't want to do it. I'm burnt out, and I've had enough with staring at a screen for work. I don't want to do that for my social time, too.
You know, it's funny you say that because yesterday I had a meeting and I was at my son's baseball practice and I was practicing with him and it was really dull and I realized that my phone was down to 2%. I was outside at the baseball field on the Zoom meeting and I think subconsciously I made sure I had no juice so that my phone would die and I didn't have to deal with it. Ryan, you're right on that.
That's hysterical. Well,
I don't know what we do. What do we do, Ryan? How can we reconcile our feelings that we've had enough of this socialization? I mean, mine was a business meeting, but, you know, I refuse to do Zoom social calls. What do I do? Should I just become more of an introvert, as you say?
Well, I think what you're recognizing is that you actually do have an introverted side. And usually it's not just you're one or the other. You have, you know, parts of your life when maybe you're more outgoing, like on this show.
Excellent.
And parts of your life where you might just want to be, you know, to yourself, kind of have your downtime, and really the measure of that when we talk about introversion and extroversion is where do you get your batteries charged? You know, are you more, do you get refreshed after being, you know, some people really get pumped up from being at a party and really love that. They get fed by that. Other people get drained by the party.
I feel like I'm an extroverted introvert. What do you think about that?
Sure. There's another category called an ambivert, which is you're kind of in the middle. You're right. And that's where most of us land.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoy being by myself and large crowds always make me feel uncomfortable. I do better connecting one-on-one over in the corner.
I realized for the past few years, I'm the same. I used to be so outgoing. Now I love the lockdown because I'm with my kids and they go to school every day in their bedroom. And I'm like obsessed with my kids. And then the other thing is, you know, everyone said, oh, you're the life of the party. I go, no, I'm a total bore at home. Like I do it, nothing. And I love it.
But that's kind of like the performer in you, right?
Yeah.
It's like you can turn it on whenever you need to.
Is that normal, too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. It doesn't mean that you can't be in front of people. I mean, you know, Barack Obama was kind of notoriously an introvert, but of course he was out in front of people all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we hear that all the time.
You know, I go to movies by myself. I go to dinners by myself. And I've been doing it for years. And I've always been comfortable with it. But now I'm at a time where I'm like, gosh, it'd be nice to have someone. And you talk about men and being who they are. We were saying earlier, I feel bad for some men because our guest today, Candace, I'm like, God, you look so hot. And then Al is like, I couldn't say that. And I go, I feel bad for men that can't compliment women. Maybe not, oh, you look hot, but hey, that outfit's really smoking on you or something. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Definitely a dicey time when talking about other people's appearance in any way, right?
Yes.
You know, Ryan, you talk about putting relationships on pause and that's okay. Huh. Why?
Yes. It's okay because, again, you don't want to get to that point of burnout where you have to let your phone die so that you can have an
touché.
There you go.
I think it's okay to recognize, okay, here's what my actual limits are. And that's really what this is. It's kind of a reckoning of like, how much social contact do I really need? And you don't have to feel ashamed about that. You don't have to feel bad or guilty. You just recognize, look, I want to be with my family and a couple friends, and that's about it. And then you just let other people know, hey, you know what? I'm recognizing that I'm actually more of an introvert right now. So I'm kind of in my good zone here.
You know, Ryan,
out with a few folks.
Just listen to you. I have to ask you, when is someone in trouble when they are being too much of a recluse or giving in too much into the isolation and the withdrawing from social interaction?
That's a good question because that's what I feel I'm doing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, sure. Certainly it has to do with you can really take a look at yourself and see, am I actually avoiding things? Or am I enjoying this time? You know, if it's a fearful thing for you to go out and be around people, of course, you know, COVID notwithstanding, but you know, if you're like scared to be in social situations, then there might be telling you something. Or if
it's
you feel
almost,
like I can't be around people because I just don't have the energy for it. Right. Or I used to like being with, that's another big one is looking at what was your normal pattern before? Did you like being around people and now you don't? Well, maybe that's a sign that something's going on.
It's almost like we just have to be true to ourselves in the moment every single day with everything that's happening.
You know, you said, like, be present. Yeah. I love that.
Be present. And there's a lot of times you need solitude.
Yeah.
Ryan, really quickly, what about in the workplace? You know, a lot of people are actually working together, but they're feeling a little uncomfortable. Should we be engaging with each other, or is it okay to just go into your office or into your workspace and be quiet?
Yeah, he's asking about sex in the workplace, just so we can be clear.
That would be a question I'd ask Candace.
What makes you think I want to talk about sex?
Right. I would say that, you know, again, this is about knowing yourself, knowing what your limits are. If you feel like you're going to be most productive and you're just fine kind of flying solo, doing your own thing, then by all means do that. Mm-hmm. If people are harassing you and telling you that, you know, hey, you need to come and be at this meeting, or we need to be all together right now, you can say, look, I'm really in a good place. I'm fine. I'll check in with you guys later on. I'll check in with you one-on-one. I really don't feel like I need to be in a big group right now.
Yeah, that's okay. I think that's great advice. I mean, you talk about some really practical things that can help out in all friendships and relationships. I wish we had all day to talk about it, because a lot of us here feel the need to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. Dr. Ryan Howes, it's Howes. The book is Mental Health Journal for Men. And he's got a lot of great ideas. Ryan, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right. Well, it looks like we're going to have to close this down.
No, I'm having so much fun.
We're going to stay and just continue to do the show.
Well, what do you... if you hear, I'm going to ask you both a question. You can only answer in three words.
Okay.
If we had another hour, what would you want to talk about, Jillian?
Sex.
Wow.
And love.
We are booking both Candace Smith and Jillian Barbie on for the next hour on sex.
At least.
It's Gervie's Law. It'll be changed to Gervie's Sex Law. Laws on sex.
Laws on sex, exactly.
Candace Smith, I want to thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Great.
You guys are both really
What's
great.
What's your website called? CandaceSmith.com?
CandaceSmith.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, my podcast, Loved by Candace.
Loved by Candace.
And I'm The Candace Smith on Instagram.
Candace.
Check out The Candace Smith. Amazing stuff. Jillian, as usual,
I just get
so pumped up when you're here.
I love you.
I love you back.
Thank you.
I wish we were both of you.
All right. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. Next week, it's Ron Say right here on 790 KABC.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.